I want to talk this morning about a crisis at Christmas. A crisis at Christmas. We tend to be very sentimental about the Christmas story and about Christmas time in general. And I'm not going to say that's entirely wrong, but I don't know how biblical it is. Because the first Christmas really was a crisis. There were many difficulties and many pains that came that first Christmas. It was not chestnuts on any open fire. There were no beautiful songs being sung. It was a time of great hardship for Joseph and Mary, and indeed the whole family surrounding them. I'll explain that in a moment. And therefore, I want to meditate with you a little bit today, particularly as we're getting ready for the great feast of Christmas, at the heroic virtue of Joseph and Mary, given the circumstances in which Jesus was born. Both of them display heroic virtue and heroic obedience to God, despite the fact that it cost them a great deal to do so. So let's begin by looking first of all at this crisis of Christmas, by looking first at the distress. The distress, it says, this is how the birth of Jesus came about. Notice that. This is how. You know, all of the nice sentimental parts of the story are great, but in the end, this is the real story. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, which they were technically married, but they weren't together. It's not exactly like engagement today, where you're not married yet. They were technically married, but there was a period of about a year where the bride and the groom still lived separately, in a way as though they weren't married. Now, again, when his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child. Now, we know, and the text tells us, that it's by the Holy Spirit that this conception has taken place. Mary knows, but we don't know what Joseph and what the other family members knew, and frankly, if somebody came and told you that she had conceived by the Holy Spirit, how believing would you be? It's not an easy explanation, is it? I swear, it's by the Holy Spirit that I've conceived. And so it is that we have this very grave situation. In that culture, at that time, this was a very, very grave situation. It meant that the marriage was off. I'll explain why in just a moment. But for Mary, when she said yes to the angel Gabriel, this was it put her in a very dangerous situation. Women could be stoned to death for such things in that culture at that time. It was a very, very dangerous yes that Mary made to the angel Gabriel. Put her not just in a socially awkward situation, but actually it endangered her life. Now let me read to you from the book of Deuteronomy, which gives us some background as to why this is such a crisis. The text from Deuteronomy chapter 22 says this: if the tokens of virginity are not found in the young woman, then they shall bring out that young woman to the door of her father's house, and the men of the city shall stone her to death, because she has wrought folly in Israel by playing the harlot in her father's house. And thus you shall purge the evil that is in the midst of you. Now, shocking stuff. They were certainly very adamant, about a woman being a virgin before she was married. And by the way, other texts teach us that if the man in this case can be bound as well, that he is also to be stoned. They simply did not tolerate promiscuous behavior. Now, we may argue that this is extreme, and it certainly is extreme, to stone somebody to death. But on the other hand, you know, we've gone the other direction, right, where all of this is no big deal. And it is a big deal. But again, it is this very, very quite amazingly dangerous situation that Mary herself is in. Now, they didn't always carry out this sentence. Sometimes they did, sometimes they didn't. You may remember that a woman who was caught in adultery was brought to Jesus, and it was said that she could be stoned, should she be stoned. So you see, they would wrestle with each case. But again, I want you to see what a crisis this whole situation, that Mary is found with child prior to the time she's been with her husband Joseph. This not only means that she is in danger, but it also means that the marriage is off. A man who was a follower of the law could not take a woman such as this into his home. The text says, not only, it says, when his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found with child through the Holy Spirit. Now Joseph, her husband, since he was a righteous man, was unwilling to expose her to shame, but decided to divorce her quietly. Now, when we hear this term that he was a righteous man, the text is teaching us not only about the quality of his virtue, but primarily this, that Joseph was a follower of the law. He didn't just brush aside texts like Deuteronomy. He didn't just brush aside God's law. And God's law was certainly clear in this, that no woman found in this condition was to be brought into an observer of the law's house. He was to purge this evil from his house. He was to have nothing to do with this situation, with a woman like this. And therefore, he does decide to divorce her quietly. He is a follower of the law, and that is what the law prescribed. Now, he does decide not to expose her to the full force of the law. And so he does this thing quietly and tries to keep it from coming to the attention of other people in the town who might want to carry out a stoning. So we see, first of all, that Joseph is just and he tries to protect Mary from the full force of the law. But he knows, as an observer of the law, that he cannot take her into his home. The marriage is off. We have a crisis at Christmas. Are you following me? We may be angry at the severity of that culture at that time. We may be angry about it, but I'm just simply telling you what it is. I'm not saying it by way of approval. I'm just telling you, this is what the situation was. A terrible crisis. The marriage is off, Mary is in danger, and indeed, we see that everything is now in turmoil. Now, we see, therefore, the distress at Christmas. Now then, we also next notice not just the distress, but the direction. It says that an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. And he said to him, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, into your home. For it is through the Holy Spirit that this child has been conceived in her. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus. Now, Joseph hears from God. And he hears from God something which is very challenging, and something which is going to also put him in a very difficult situation. Remember, Joseph is a follower of the law, and we presume that his family was a strict observer of the law as well. Now, just like in these days, not everybody in olden days was careful to observe every detail of the Jewish law. Some were stricter and more carefully following it than others. But we've already been told that Joseph and his family are followers of the law. Now, what Joseph is then about to do when he wakes up, he's been instructed to take Mary as his wife and not be afraid of all the implications. But what are some of the implications? Well, it's very possible that Joseph's own family would disown him for this. You are not to do this, says the law and says the culture. And Joseph, in doing this, would possibly alienate himself from his own family. You say, well, we all have that. But listen, there was no Social Security in those days. There was no safety net. We absolutely needed our family, whether we loved them or not. We just needed them because they provided us that wider social network that we need to survive. And not only that, but Joseph was a businessman from what we know. He was a laborer. And every businessman who's going to labor needs a good reputation. And therefore, again, not only is his reputation threatened, but also his business, his livelihood. Church, you begin to see there's a lot of risk. There's a lot of risk in what Joseph is being asked to do, given that culture and the understanding of the law at that time. So Joseph is asked to do something very difficult. Joseph has a decision to make. Joseph has been through distress. So has Mary. Joseph has gone ahead and decided to call off the marriage, as he should. But God says, no, you're to go through with this, whatever the cost. And do not be afraid. But Joseph had a lot to be afraid of. But nevertheless, the angel says, do not be afraid. Do not give way to your fear. Take Mary into your home. Joseph has a decision to make. There is distress, there is direction, and now comes decision. It says simply this, when Joseph awoke, he did as the angel of the Lord had instructed him, and he took Mary, his wife, into his home. Do you see the heroic virtue involved in this? Do you see what great heroes Joseph and Mary really are? We tend to sentimentalize all of this, and we miss that they both went through major crisis to bring Jesus to us. God asked them to work with him. But right away, we see that the passion, the cross of Christ is already being foreshadowed in this immense crisis that develops around this pregnancy, which is completely out of the usual circumstances. Mary's own life is endangered. She's probably being alienated from her own family over this. We don't know all that. But again, it's caused a real crisis, and we know for Joseph the same. Both of them, despite this, and knowing this, and experiencing all of this, said yes to God. Are you glad that they said yes to God? Sometimes we don't think of the kind of cost or the sacrifice that others have to make to bring Jesus to us. Joseph and Mary, yes. But after them, countless martyrs and saints who made sacrifices of their lives. Some of them died so that you and I could come to know about Jesus Christ. Some of them made tremendous sacrifices to go far, far distant fields to preach Christ so that you and I would one day be able to hear this name, which is above every other name. This name, this Savior who saves us, you shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. His name is Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now, the other thing I wanted to say by way of conclusion is that when we think about Christmas, as I say, we can be sentimental. And we may miss the heroic virtue of Joseph and Mary. But the other thing that we miss is that, you know, Jesus is not found in a Hallmark card Christmas. Jesus is not found in what we might dream up as the perfect Christmas, where everyone is perfect and there's just enough snow to have a white Christmas, but not too much to impede our travel. And we have the chestnuts on the open fire, and we have all the food and the family, and everybody's getting along. And, well, you know, the perfect Christmas. And everyone has the perfect gift. And, well, all right. Jesus is not found in that Christmas because that Christmas does not exist. The first Christmas was a crisis. The first Christmas was far from Hallmark card perfect. And if I were to take the story forward from where we are today, you know it. Right at the time when Mary's about to give birth, 9 months pregnant, and she has to make a journey of 70 miles to go to Bethlehem. Now, some of us make that journey, and even on a bus, it's a long journey. Are we there yet? 70 miles, probably on foot. We like to think of her riding a donkey. I don't know that Joseph was able to afford that type of transportation for Mary. But even if there was a donkey, can you imagine being 9 months pregnant and riding a donkey? And then they get to Bethlehem and there's no room in the inn. And Jesus is born in a smelly stable where animals are kept. And animals also leave things. It is not a pleasant thing. We decorate our manger beautifully and we are very sentimental. But the reality was very harsh. The reality was very shocking. That any pregnant woman should have to give birth in a stable, and that no one inside that inn would give place to a pregnant woman about to give birth is a disgrace. And then, when we finally think things are settling down, Herod pursues the child, and they have to flee through a howling desert to go to Egypt. Now, some of us struggle with our Christmas. This Christmas may be difficult for some people in this church. There may be some people here who have just lost a loved one, and this is going to be the first Christmas. And it's going to be a hard Christmas and painful. Maybe there are some here who are struggling to find work. It's a hard time in your life. Maybe there are some here who are struggling to get together with family because your family is anything from perfect. I don't just have chestnuts on an open fire. I got real nuts falling out of my family tree, Father. And our Christmas isn't so pleasant. And some of you have wonderful times in your life. This is a great Christmas. We all have different experiences. But I want to say to you that Jesus is going to be found in your real Christmas, not in your Hallmark card Christmas. He's going to be found in that gathering where there goes Uncle Joe drinking too much again. He's going to be found in the painful and difficult circumstances that may make up this Christmas. Jesus is there. That's where he is. Not in the perfect Christmas, but even in the crisis that some of us may find ourselves in this year, Jesus is found. And Jesus is also found in the joy. He's found in the gifts which symbolize love. He's found in all these things. But he's found in a real Christmas. Not a fake one. Not one that's contrived by Madison Avenue. But the real one. The first Christmas was a crisis. You know, there's some, just to conclude and remind you, therefore, I hope you're grateful, and I hope you get really close to Joseph and Mary at this time. They paid a tremendous price to bring us Jesus. They had a lot to endure, but they did it anyway. They were strong, and they're great heroes in the faith. Mary is not just a Christmas ornament, neither is Joseph. Joseph was a strong man. Mary, a strong woman. Both of them said yes to God, even when saying yes to God was hard. they said yes. And because of that, and because of God's grace and glory working through them, we have Jesus. I hope you're grateful. And I hope you know that we're called to that same heroic virtue. It's not always easy to live life. The Lord asks us to say yes anyway, and to do what's right even if the cost is high. And we say thank you, Lord, for Joseph and Mary. I want to conclude by the words of an old spiritual. I told Jesus it would be all right if he changed my name. But Jesus told me I'd have to live humble if he changed my name. He said I'd be hungry if he changed my name. He said the world would hate me if he changed my name. But I told Jesus it would be all right if he changed my name. And I have it on the best of authority that as Joseph got up that morning, he sang that spiritual. I have it on the best of authority as they went down to Bethlehem. They were singing, it'd be all right if he changed my name. As they were fleeing off to Egypt, I have it on the best of authority that that's the song they sang. I told Jesus it would be all right if he changed my name. Amen.